Welcome back to Aliyah Yomi. Today we're going to be learning Vayakhel Sheni, the second Aliyah in Parshas Vayakhel. The topic today is the building fund. It is nine psukim, not running from Perek Lamed Hey Pasuk Chav Aleph to Chav Tes. Let's take a look at a brief overview and then delve into some points to ponder. So now the people have gone back, they've heard the presentation of Moshe, this appeal which has been made. They go back and they start donating, and they bring all these wonderful things to the base of Midrash, to Moshe Rabbeinu to create. And the men come to their wives, they tell about this, and they bring all these kinds of rings and silver and gold and all the different precious materials and the tcheles, argaman, tolas, shani, sheshu, izim, all kinds of different materials, and they bring copper and silver, all these things of wood are brought. And we even hear about the women who bring their chochmas lev, their skills, the artisans who bring biyadeh tavu vayavu matve esat cheles vasagamon. They started bringing the woven and the spun threads, which they even did from the goats themselves. And we hear about the nasiim, these princes who bring the avnei hashram, these special stones, and the avnei miluim, the stones which are going to go on the ephod, and the stones which are going to go in the choshen, and all the different spices necessary for the ketores and the shemen hamishcha, which we learned about in Parshas Kisisa. And it really, people came forward. This is an incredible description of donation, and a davar la Hashem, a donation to Hashem. A few basic points to ponder. Number one is, what was unique about this woman spinning the wool? We hear about tavu esa izim. They spun the goats, which sounds a little strange. They were actually spinning the goats. So Rashi quotes the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Ayin Daled, which says, yes, in fact, he hosa amanus yaseira. It was an extra level of craft that they had, that they were able to actually spin it right on the goats themselves. The Rav Hirsch actually explains that they had a way, perhaps some sort of material which they poured on the goats to allow it to come off naturally, very easily, and as the wool came off, that's how they spun it. So it was coming directly off the goats as they spun it. But why is it so important? Why is that so important to tell us and for this to be recorded for posterity in the Torah? So Nachlas Yaakov explains it because the wool was the most clean then. It hadn't yet been dropped on the floor and mixed together and had to be cleaned again. No, this was the cleanest it was. It was cleaned on the animals, it was pure, and it was taken off the animals then. And this might be, as the Maskil of David explains, because this particular wool was the outer covering, it was the second of the coverings, but the outer covering, for especially for the sides of the Mishkan, which people on the outside would see. On the inside, you'd see the beautiful tapestries of the ceiling. On the outside, you would see, not the top, because that's where you have the ram skins and the tachashim skins, but on the sides, you would see the goat skins, which is why it required to be extra clean. I would also wonder if perhaps this is also an element of taking it from life, meaning to say it's as close to the organic process that it was. It's not dead material, that it was actually produced even in the space of while being alive as well. Now, why is it that we are told that the Nesiim bring the stones? Why is that so important? Obviously, the stones, the precious stones, are of immense value. So perhaps other people were not rich enough to bring them. So what's the significance about this? Rashi tells us that if you look at the word Nesiim in our Aliyah, it means the princes, it is actually missing a yud. In fact, it's missing two yuds. But nonetheless, Rashi focuses on the fact that it's missing one of those yuds. And he says the reason is because they waited till the end and they said, whatever people cannot bring themselves, we will bring. And they were criticized for that, which is why they lost a yud in their name. It's seen as a derogatory reference that they should have been more forthcoming at the beginning. And this is why later on in Parashas Naso, the Nesiim, the princes are going to be the first ones to contribute when it comes to the Chanukah Samizbeach, the dedication of the altar, when the Mishkan is actually put into service. The Ha'emek Dover, the Netziv, explains that maybe they weren't actually appointed as Nesiim yet. After all, we've not seen that appointment yet, and that's going to come later on. And so perhaps that's why they're spelled Chaser. They were nominees. They were elects. They weren't quite the actual Nesiim yet, which might be, and it's not a derogatory thing, but it's just indicating but premature as well. Let's assume that the Yud taken out of their name because of their actions. But why the Yud? Why was the Yud the letter that was the choice letter? Explains the Klei Yakor that really, the 13 different materials that are enumerated here in the beginning of Parshas Truma, which were being donated to the Mishkan, were as a kapara, as an atonement for the Chet HaEgel. And as you know, there were 13 Midos HaRachmim, 13 attributes of Hashem's mercy, which were there to remedy the sin of the Chet HaEgel and future sins. And so this was, in a certain sense, this donation was, as Rashi had pointed out at the beginning of Truma, all these donations, now we're making an edifice which Hashem commanded, not an edifice which Hashem did not want, and that's why it's going to be an atonement. But if you think about it, says the Klei Yaakov, what was the greatest loss when the Menuchos are destroyed? Not the actual stones themselves, but the fact that the letters then jumped off of those stones, that the oysters of Parachos Ba'avir, they flew up in the heavens and were not retrieved. When the people made these donations, what were they really making? The donations they were making were essentially not the actual material of the Luchos, that is replaceable, but it's the letters, it's the spirit of the law which flew away. That's the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim, that's the 13 materials they are bringing to create the Aseres HaDibros. But they reached the capacity, there was enough. And now the Nesiim had nothing left to give. So all they could give were the stones, in a certain sense, like the container which held all that spirit of the law. If all the Nesiim could give was the actual material, representing the actual stones of the Ten Commandments themselves, they were missing the spirit of the law that those Ten Commandments carried, which is why they were missing the Yud, representing the ten, the actual content of the stones representing only the outer, and that's what it was, why it was the Yud. Rav Sirotzkin actually says that the reason why it's missing a Yud is you'll notice a lot of the important names in Judaism begin with a Yud. The name of Hashem, Shem Avaya, Yud, Hey, then Vav and Hey, the name Yehuda, the name Yisrael, all begin with a Yud. What the reason why they missed a Yud is because they did not come at the beginning. They came at the end. And therefore, in a symbolically, they lost their Yud, their beginning. It is worthwhile noting that there is a completely different way of looking at this entire episode, and that is that perhaps we mistranslated the word Nesiim. Perhaps Nesiim does not mean princes. Nesiim can also mean, and as is described in the Gemara, and as described in some of the Targumim, is that perhaps it refers to Ananaya, which means clouds, Nesiim. What does that mean? So the Chazal described, Kasha'aman Yored Li Yisrael, when the manna would descend, there would be alongside it all types of gems which would be brought as well. Which means to say that what is described, what was being described over here, is bringing and donating to the Mishkan that which fell from the heaven. Not just the sustenance, but the riches as well. That might explain why it is that the word Nesiim is spelled without a Yud, because it's not referring to princes, it's referring to clouds. Completely different way of looking at things. Different understanding. Every time we learn Torah, we should be learning a different level, more and more, deeper and deeper. In the meantime, a wonderful and meaningful day.